Hey there, it's David Chen here.
And Renee Wade. And welcome to another session of Attraction Control Insights, where we interview leading experts in the field of dating and relationships.
You see, here's the thing. In the many years that we've been teaching, coaching, and helping women, we've realized that there's no faster way to make progress than to have multiple perspectives from people who are the leaders of their field.
And this is why we've found the best experts to share with us their knowledge and experience in finding love, triggering attraction, establishing that loyalty and trust, and frankly, having the relationship that other people envy.
So we really think you're going to enjoy this interview. I suggest you sit back, take some notes, and let's get started. Hello everyone, David here, and I have the privilege today of interviewing a man who has appeared on over 250 radio and television talk shows. Now, he isn't just an author, but he's also received the Writer's Digest International Book Award not just once, but twice for his amazing books titled Men Are Like Fish, What Every Woman Needs to Know About Catching a Man, and Dating Rocks, the 21 Smartest Moves Women Make for Love. Now, this man has an enormous number of accolades to his name, and he has been in the game of helping others for decades. And more specifically, he's helped hundreds and thousands of women discover the secret of the male psyche when it comes to romantic relationships. For the past 6 years, he's served as the dating and relationship expert on iVillage.com's Ask Mr. Answer Man message board. His name is Steve Nakamoto. Now, I actually first saw Steve in a DVD that I purchased titled Love Talk with Dr. John Gray, Dr. Helen Fisher, and a few others. And what I love about Steve's work is that he's just so genuine and so honest about his whole message, because I've seen so many quote-unquote experts out there who are just so full of themselves, giving advice not to help others, but to feel good about themselves. Steve is totally different. He really cuts through the BS and really does an exceptional job of getting you inside a man's mind when it comes to love, dating, and relationships. So, Steve, are you there?
Yes, I am, David. I appreciate that welcome. Thank you very much.
No, thank you for being here. It's really my pleasure and my privilege to have you share your thoughts and experience. Now, can we start by having you share with us, how did it all start for you? I mean, what got you into teaching dating and relationships?
Well, what happened, I had a cruise ship romance that kind of blossomed, and then it fell apart, and I was really disillusioned. And about the same time that was happening, I was going to seminars. Tony Robbins, you know, yep. The guy who does the Firewalk seminar.
Absolutely.
He was a big motivational guru in the United States in the 80s, and he goes to Australia a lot.
Yep.
A lot of people know about Tony Robbins,
yep.
The Firewalk guy.
For sure.
And I just started thinking about personal development and my own romantic relationships. And what I learned when I was doing this field called NLP, Neuro-Linguistic Programming, mm-hmm. was this thing called love strategies that Tony used to talk about. So I thought, you know what? I ought to write a book, a book called Instant Romance, How to Fall in Love Fast, just uh-huh. like you do on a cruise ship. So what I was doing, I was copying what happened to me on my cruise ship. So mm-hmm. I went on these things called Club Med vacations, which were real popular, mm-hmm. and single ski trips. I went on a lot of cruises. And so I kind of learned all these little tricks to get people to fall in love with you. Mm-hmm. And that's where my head was at the time. So I came up with this idea, men are like fish, mm-hmm. because from Tony Robbins, one of the things that he taught was a thing called global metaphors, a
yes.
metaphor is an analogy,
yes.
you know, so
yes.
so I just use this analogy where I noticed people were saying things like, he's a nice catch, there's more fish in the sea, she landed
yeah.
a husband,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
he fell for her hook, line, and sinker, you know, so I thought, I'm going to write a book called Fishing for Love, and so that's what I went with for many years, and I didn't write the book, I went to book writing seminars, one was by the guys who wrote Chicken Soup for the Soul,
yes.
and I went to the Maui Writers Conference, and I showed this idea. I had it all like in PowerPoint slides and things, and they said, you know what, Steve? That's a very interesting idea, but it'll never sell because you're saying fishing. It'll end up in the sports department, and besides, men don't buy books on relationships. It's changed a little bit now, David,
yep.
but, you know.
Yep.
But the big selling is to women. women are the ones who are most curious and study this stuff.
Yep.
So anyways, one lady in one of my side businesses, I'm a professional tour director from time to time.
Yep.
And this lady had to listen to me for days talk about this fishing for love idea. And she said, Steve, you got this wrong. There's an American proverb, proverbs like old wisdom, that says a man chases a woman until she catches him. So I figured she's doing the catching. If she's doing the catching, that makes the man the fish. And besides, here in the States, we do a lot of trout fishing, like in Colorado and Montana and places like that, is that when a man is trying to catch a woman, the man is not satisfied catching one. He wants to catch a limit or go for a bigger one.
Yes.
Whereas the woman fisherman catches a good one and quits. So for some reason, that works that way. So in a nutshell, that's Men Are Like Fish, the four-minute version.
Okay. So, Steve, I mean, you've helped a lot of women over the years. What do you see as the biggest problem? So if women are out there to catch fish, what do you think the biggest problem is when women approach dating and love?
Well, it's about awareness. But it's mainly what happens is most women get all of their advice and recommendations and what to do and everything based on what other women say. So what they're really doing is just getting their own female perspective over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like looking at the love relationship world with one eye. So and by the way, the men have the same kind of problem. Men tend to do things based on what other men say. And so I come in as the friendly voice of the other half, and I have experience in that so that women can get an honest and sensible point of view from a man. Sometimes if you ask any man, that doesn't help either.
No.
Because
the man could be egotistical. He could be, you know, there's so many people out there who think that they know the answer, but they don't see the whole picture anyway, and they just give their perspective, which is, you know, valuable at times, but it doesn't quite give the overall perspective that the woman perhaps needs.
That's correct, David. Because you actually have to study this, and you have to dwell on the subject, you know this, to get a little closer to it, because your layers of awareness, they rise as you do more, you experience more, and then you kind of run it by the things that you learn.
Yes.
So the biggest mistake is that you can't get the other side's perspective. So that's where I come in, is I provide what I consider an honest, it's a friendly and it's a sensible point of view. It's not just me. I've studied this for many years, but my most solid background was my years with Tony Robbins as a trainer for him, and the years I studied John Gray too.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Yes. He's a big influence over, the whole market in terms of teaching women, you know, the psychology of a man, etc. I mean, he's been very successful with his whole series of books now. Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. So he's done a great job there.
Yeah, and that's where I got my start. Mm. And then once my books came out, and then I became the answer man, and I had to do interviews, I learned so much more. In fact, all the women I've talked to, it's not a one-way thing. I learned from them.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just in fact, amongst my guy friends, they would get kind of mad at me because – I was always supporting the women's side. And it says, would you cut it out? We're trying to have fun here, Steve. You're turning into a woman in front of us. So I said, sorry about that.
Yeah, no, I can totally relate to that. You know, the more you speak to women, the more you get into the woman's mindset, and you become more sympathetic and more empathetic towards women. And you almost abandon, you know, the guy's perspective for a little bit there.
Yeah, you do. That's right. So it's kind of funny, but I think it's nice to understand both sides, because like for men, their biggest problem, like when I give advice, is that men, it affects their ego and they get really mad.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you give advice to a woman, sometimes she gets hurt and it hurts her self-esteem. So men have problems with their ego, male ego. Women have it with self-esteem. So a woman gets hurt, man gets mad, angry. In America, we use the word pissed, but I think you have a different – that means something else over there.
No.
Oh.
Still appropriate here. Still appropriate.
Oh, okay.
Now, here's the thing. Can you ever stop? I mean, if you were to give the absolute best advice to a woman, could you ever stop from hurting her, or is the truth the best thing?
Well,
it's a tough question.
The truth is, but the woman has to understand things on a deeper level. Mm-hmm. There are truths, and the truths will resonate with them unless some kind of fear or weakness gets in the way. That's why so much people look to get a man, say a woman tries to get a man so she can feel secure, mm-hmm. so she can feel loved, and so she can have self-esteem. But really, those human needs, those are three of the six famous human needs.
Yes.
She needs to have that within herself.
Yes.
Same with the man. He needs to love himself. He needs to think he's a worthy person.
Yes.
And he has to feel secure in his world.
Yes.
If he tries to get that from another person, mm-hmm. it becomes a dependency relationship.
Yeah.
But not everybody is aware of that. Not everyone's ready for that. But, you know, you can save a lot of time and a lot of heartache if you come from that position.
Mm, absolutely. I totally agree with you. I think, you know, the first thing anyone should do is to develop yourself and make yourself the best version of yourself and develop the parts of yourself that you've probably disowned for a long time, especially when it comes to dating relationships, because, you know, that's where we have the most fear. That's where we're the most vulnerable. And there's nowhere else in the world where we're so exposed and we have all these, you know, bad experiences in the past. I think we all have. And there's nowhere in the world that we have to be stronger emotionally than in an intimate relationship. That's what I believe.
Correct. And by the way, when you're really solid in your self-esteem, solid in your love, not mm-hmm. just love for you, love for people, love for nature, love for God, everything, and your security, mm-hmm. your safety, security, you'll be able to attract a person who's like you. Mm-hmm. And that's actually a stronger, stabler relationship and one that is more prone to have growth. Otherwise, you might get a manipulator. You might attract someone who's trying to manipulate you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the more that you study that, you know, personal development, getting stronger in those three areas, it gives you a really solid base. Otherwise, you'll have this need to be liked, need to be important, all these kind of needs that come from an unhealthy place, and it puts instability into the relationship.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. See, so many women that I hear about, they just want to attract a man, or they just want that commitment, but they don't quite get that they have to, you know, develop themselves. And it's a learning process. It's a progress thing where it takes, you know, sometimes months and years. It's not just a once-off thing that once they get that result and that it's over. You know, it takes a lot of growth to actually maintain a relationship that's healthy. Would you agree with that?
Right, and actually the time part can be really quickened mm-hmm. if you learn certain truths, universal laws,
yep.
and then you go out there and you experience something so you develop a belief that's real to you.
Yes.
You could study this and listen to you and I talk forever, but unless you synthesize it into the truths and go out and experience so it's true for you, mm-hmm. You won't really break through, you know,
yes.
to the next level.
Yes, no, I totally agree. Now, I know that you talk about the eight fishy love habits. We're going back to the metaphor of the fish. Eight fishy love habits of highly elusive men. Now, can I get you to share that a little bit more?
Well, David, you know, I was on the radio a lot, and my first book, which, you know, like any author who's done books, the first book, you're not quite sure what you're doing. And so when you're on the radio, in America, we have what's called drive time radio, where you're only on for 10 minutes or 8 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to give them all the sound bites. You know, it's got to
yep.
be real quick, interesting, funny, goodbye, see you later.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to figure out something quick. So I thought these eight fishy love habits of highly elusive men.
Mm-hmm.
So I went through it and made it fun. And also when I did a lot of speeches, that they go, what the heck is this all about? And I kind of ripped off this concept of the seven habits of highly
habits. Yep.
Effective People by Stephen Covey. So I thought, well, I'll just kind of play with that. And when I used to do speeches a lot, I would make it a fill in the blank. But it's a fun way for people to understand what's going on. It's a metaphor. Mm-hmm. What I was saying before, David, was like Tony Robbins said, a metaphor is it's a way of linking something that's what seems complex, hard to understand, or complicated, mm-hmm. which would be love relationships, mm-hmm. romantic love relationships, and link it to something concrete and simple, like fishing. Now, some women said to me over the years, said, I don't understand fishing. Why you pick fishing? I said, I didn't pick fishing. It just happens to fit better. And fishing, the only thing you really need to know is the big fish, that's the man mm-hmm. that she wants to catch, the angler, which is the woman, mm-hmm. enlightened angler, the bait, what it attraction, the hook, which is attachment, and the net is commitment. So those are the basics, and that when we go through it, I think they'll get a hang of it. It's yes. better than being in kind of lecture mode. You can kind of talk yes. about this. People kind of understand what you're talking about. Hopefully.
No, absolutely. It's definitely yeah. a lot more interesting than just, I guess, theory. You know, you can tell someone this is the way it is, but you know, they won't listen to you. But if you take it into a story or a metaphor, you know, people are a lot more open to those suggestions.
Yeah, I'll say like, hey, you're using the wrong bait, or
yes,
or the bait you're using is attracting that kind of fish.
Yeah.
Or another one, I'll say, you know, like, why isn't he biting? It's because he can see your hook. She's trying to catch him.
Yeah.
You know?
That's good. All right, let's go through these love habits.
Okay.
The first one you have is men always check out the most attractive bait first. What do you mean by that?
Well, bait. The bait is what you throw out there and the fish mm-hmm. gets attracted to it. Mm-hmm. So they go for the most attractive bait first. So a smart woman would do all she can to have the most powerful bait mm-hmm. to be mega attractive because you get the first crack at the guy.
Yes.
And there's actually a thing in America, we call it power bait. If you go trout fishing, they also have it for right. salmon and bait, but it right. says power bait. The trout cannot resist. So this is how. And by the way, that bait is also looks the right color, and it also has a soft texture, and it smells good. So when women say, "Oh, you man, you're so visual," there's more to that. So when I say most, like, and I have different ways of explaining this, like bait, in my first book, Men Are Like Fish, I said there was a bait self-quiz where I talk about talent, game, heart, and character. Mm-hmm. But I found that in my second book, which is called Rocks, mm-hmm. I had a chapter on the irresistible woman. And I think that is more interesting for me to share with you.
Yes.
Okay. So a power bait number one. All right. Mm-hmm. Ready, David? Okay.
Yes.
All coming out there. Okay. It's the hottie. Hottie. So in we would say like if we have this People magazine, do you have
yes.
People magazine?
Yes, we
okay.
do.
Okay, you look at the headlines. The hottie is Angelina Jolie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, she's sexy, feminine. She can be beautiful, playful. She's feisty. Feisty yes. meaning she's got a little bit of bad girl in her, a little
yes,
attitude.
Absolutely, yep.
You know, it's like Tabasco, a little hot sauce, a kind of, you know.
I love your analogies, by the way.
It's a hot spice there. Hot spice is like Thai food, you know?
Yeah.
And really confident.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like this bad girl element, sometimes it's like, you know, like she has a tattoo or
yes.
She'll drink like a tequila shot
yep.
or she's a real sexy dancer
mm-hmm.
or occasionally she throws in a dirty word. Or her taste in music is a little bit out there, but mm-hmm. you know, so those are things that are, you know, part of the hottie,
yep.
you know. So,
yep.
But that's the shiny part of the lure. That's the part that men notice first. So anyway, the hottie.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Element number two is mm-hmm. called the sweetie.
Sweetie.
The sweetie is actually like Angelina Jolie's rival. It's the Jennifer Aniston.
Right. Okay.
The girl next door. So mm-hmm. that's the warm and kind and thoughtful person that's mm-hmm. easygoing, sensitive to others, all the other women like her. She's a sweetie, you know. And so that's a very good quality to have. But it's second to the hottie. But I would say if you're going to be – you want to have both of them.
Yes.
You're going to be both the hottie and sweetie. So the third element – there's five of them, by the way, Dave.
Yes.
The third one I call the pal, P-A-L.
Yep.
The pal is someone who gets along with the guy's friends, his family. She's kind of fun to be around. You can hang with her. That's a word we use here in California. Can you hang with me? which means in order to hang with somebody, you can't be complaining or telling people they're wrong or criticizing them. And anyways, that's what a pal is. Now, by the way, lots of times it'd be a really hot chick, but she's a lousy pal.
Yes.
So you can't hang around her that much. So
no,
she's just
part-time
girlfriend, you know. Like
I totally relate. Yep.
After 10, you know, she's just my girlfriend after 10. But anyway, so those are the three core ones. And then the last two are – the first two I talk about are really what I call girlfriend material. So women out there, you want to be girlfriend material first. If you're not hottie, sweetie, pal, you're either going to be part-time girlfriend or no girlfriend at all.
Yeah.
But the next one is important if you want to be wife material, and I'll pull us all together later. But the person, so the person has to do with their character. It has to be command respect. It could be someone who's successful, a successful woman, so she has some proving ground of competence.
Yes.
But most importantly, she's has emotional maturity, which means that she has some sort of wisdom. She's linked to some sort of truths about how the world works. For example, she treats other people well because she knows what goes around comes around. The old Australian boomerang theory, you know.
Yes.
It comes around. So the person, because – here's another thing is you don't want to have chronic negativity. Here's the thing about character is there's two types of personalities. And this is one of the most important things for women to understand, anybody, men, is you can have a social personality, which is the way when you're partying, you're around people, and then you have your everyday chronic personality. And so your chronic personality is the side of you that wakes up every day that, you know, it's like what your coworkers all know about you.
And
so if you have habits of being negative, and people say, well, I'm not negative. Well, you'd be surprised what's negative, which would be sad, in grief a lot, depressed a lot, those kind of things, angry, hurt, those are negative, versus being accepting, willing, passionate, loving, fun, enthusiastic.
Yeah, that those negative emotions kind of drain the energy from other people as well that you're with.
That's right. In fact, you're right. What it boils down to, I talk about emotions, but as emotions get filtered to the body, it's a vibe. So you're right there, David. You pick up on the vibe. It's draining. It doesn't feel good. So anyways, I actually have a quick maybe we'll get to it later, but the way you solve any of the negative is you accept that and be willing to move forward. So even in grief, you understand the truth that things aren't forever in physical form. You accept that and you move forward. You know, you show gratitude. But anyway, and then the last power bait thing, Dave.
Yes.
I was going today on bait, but by the way, bait is the most important, and the hottie is the most attractive part of it. Is what I call the fifth element is the prize. Now the prize, the prize, P-R-I-Z-E. It's you've got to be in demand. Like here's an example: you go on a date, and the woman says, "I'm so glad you asked me out. I haven't been on for years."
So, yeah, that's terrible.
The guy's got, "What's wrong with you?" So. You want to be a prize where there's a limited window because you have other love options. You have other things to do with your life, which gives her the ability to say no.
Absolutely.
And then the man has a fear of loss. And so she's in constant demand. I know in my own life, there was like this one girl that everyone kind of liked. She was kind of hot and she was having problems with her boyfriend. And the rumor got around, she dumped her boyfriend. I was right there, man, because this was my chance for her because she was a prize. And so I went after a lot more aggressively if she was just somebody that was part of the gang, let's say.
Yes, absolutely. And she's probably pre-approved herself by, you know, having other men around her. You can, social proof.
Yeah, social proof.
Absolutely.
Right. So anyway, hottie, sweetie, pal, person, prize. That's the bait. That's your package. Mm-hmm. And that's what's going to attract men. And I say you want to be a girlfriend material is what you want to track with. And then you'll slowly reveal what I consider your wife material characteristics.
Down the track.
Yeah. Now, what the mistake people, women do is they promote their wife things first.
Ah.
Meaning, oh, I'm a good cook. I decorate well. And the guy's like, but I'm not attracted yet.
You know? Yeah, there's no chemistry.
There's no chemistry.
Yeah.
And she's saying, men are so insensitive. And I say, well, yeah, no way. But that's just how we operate. We go by attraction first. So that's why bait's important.
Yes. Yes, that's fantastic. Okay, the second love habit is that men will fall off the hook easily from boredom.
Yes, David. And, you hook the fish's or the man's attention, and now he's on the hook. He's on the line.
Uh-huh.
But he slips off because he gets bored. And this has to do with communication. So a smart woman is going to take up the slack in her small talk. Mm-hmm. I wrote a third book, David, called Talk Like a Winner, which is more of a business book. Mm-hmm. And it's a 21 Simple Rules for Achieving Everyday Communication Success. Because mm-hmm. I did say I was a trainer for Tony Robbins. He taught neuro-linguistic programming, NLP, which is like advanced. You mentioned social proof. That's mm-hmm. part unconscious communication, persuasion. I did that for 7 years, actually 9 years. And then I was a Dale Carnegie instructor where I taught how to win friends and influence people, effective speaking. So here are some of the small talk tips.
That would be fantastic. I'd love to hear them.
Okay, one of them is be brief. Because Mark Twain said, the worst kind of death is to be talked to death. Now, that may be talk less and listen more.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're really shy, then you need to talk more.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a two-way conversation. But also have point number two is have something good to say. So having something good to say would be avoiding negative issues. Here's something that's interesting about conversation in terms of topics.
Yes.
If you talk just about people, that's like level one.
Uh-huh.
Here in the United States, we've got the area called the South. That's Mississippi, Alabama, South Carolina. These are like what we call they're kind of backwards people.
Yes.
And they're all, I know that because I spent some time there, and they tend to talk about, well, Uncle Fred had this, and Fred had a barbecue. It's all about people stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the next level is talking about events that are happening in the world. And the third level is talking about concepts and ideas.
Yes.
So if you want to have we're having actually a concept. We're having a higher level conversation.
Uh-huh.
We're having fun, though, at the lower level, too. But
yep.
That's part of having something good to say. Otherwise, you might be judged as being shallow.
Uh-huh.
We in America, we say an airhead. And there's
yes.
a male and a female version of this.
Mm-hmm.
So have something good to say. Learn how to say things well.
Mm-hmm.
So you know how to have the proper emotion there. You know how to ask questions. You know how to preface strong opinions if you do, if you have to.
Mm-hmm.
But just understanding how to say well, humor, what's in poor taste, what's in good taste. Those are things that how to say well.
Yeah.
Say it with the proper emotion. Another thing, know what not to say.
And what are they in terms of, you know, relationships and dating? What don't you prefer a woman said?
Money.
Okay.
You know, the sensitive issues are like money, sex.
Politics.
Politics, which is big in the U.S.
Yeah.
Having economic problems here, so there's people just spouting off about stuff and messing up their dating life. But, mess up marriages, too, because people feel when it comes to politics, that the guard goes and they can say anything.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, know what not to say, which would be things that might hurt the other person. There are things that you don't say initially.
Yes.
That you can say as you know them better.
Get on a deeper level.
Right.
Yeah.
And if you have to say something that may be hurtful, you have to do what's called a preframe. You tell them, hey, I got something to say to you, and it may hurt. Don't take this personally, please.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to hear it, it has to do with blank.
Yeah.
And they say, I don't want to hear it. So, great.
Make it into a concept.
Yeah.
With no people involved.
That's right. Talk to the person. You know, I know this friend. And then the other thing I say for small talk is make sure that you adjust your voice dial to ease listening. So do you have Seinfeld, the TV comedy?
We do.
Okay.
We do.
Okay, Seinfeld's got a lot of examples of, someone who talks too loud, someone who talks too close, a close talker,
mm-hmm.
Someone who, their voice doesn't sound good,
mm-hmm.
Like a real masculine voice.
Mm-hmm.
So, Heather Locklear, who was a big actress for many, many years, people didn't know that, but her first acting job was policewoman or police something or other, police story, and she had a terrible voice. And while she was doing that show, she had to take voice lessons. And I know that because I knew the coach who coached her how to speak better.
Right.
And if you ever listen to her, she modulates what she says, and she makes – there's a little bit of rhythm and pitch that changes.
Mm.
And because otherwise – particularly if you're on the telephone a lot.
Yes.
Or you leave messages. You know, people have these images. Any kind of hypnotist,
mm-hmm.
they distract you visually, but they get you auditorially. So anyway, that's good to know. So you can manipulate this, by the way, David. You could get a girl to like you more sometimes if you slow dance and you speak in her ear in a masculine, low vibrational voice. So that's one of the bad manipulative tactics that you women need to be aware of.
but it works, and it works, I think, for a reason, because evolutionarily speaking, there are certain things that are more of a trigger for attraction and desire than others, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And sometimes if you do the same trigger too much, it's
you
the one that
desensitize it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you don't do it so much, that's why I like to use my voice a lot.
Mm.
So when I used to date a lot, I would try to sit on the same side. You see, I met Clint Eastwood one time. Clint Eastwood, mm-hmm. the famous actor. Mm-hmm. He and I were going for the same girl. We were on a ski trip.
Is that right?
Sun Valley. He was in between women, and we were going for the same woman. So he and I were talking, and her, and it could have gone either way. I tell my friends, she ended up with him. I don't know why, but I noticed his voice.
Yeah,
because I was a little nervous, mm-hmm. and I was saying, "Hi, Clint. My name's Steve Nakamoto. I've seen your movies. It's great to see you." And he goes, "Whatever." So he had a very calm and strong male voice.
Yeah. Yeah, he's definitely a fan favorite for many, many years.
Yeah, the only thing I remember him saying is, whatever, and I've forgotten your name. That's about it. But when he said it, it sounded beautiful.
That's a good story, actually.
That's... Number two, that's take up the slack in your small talk. And if they want to know more, I have an offer that at the end where they can email me, and I'll send them a free PDF of Talk Like a Winner so they can look up some of this stuff.
That would be fantastic. That would be fantastic. And so would you say that just modulate your voice, be more interesting as a person would prevent men from, falling off the hook and actually losing interest? Because that's what women are scared of. You know, what if he loses interest? Then he won't be as committed and he'll find someone else.
Right. And then there's also a reverse angle to this, is be generally interested in him. Sometimes it's not what a woman says, but her ability to listen non-judgmentally.
Yeah.
Because women say, well, how come my boyfriend or husband doesn't talk? And I'll say it's because he tried talking and he got abused. stupid comments that he's afraid to say anything now.
Yeah.
So,
I think a lot of men fall into that boat where they have a lot to say, but when they say something and they say it in their own words, the woman doesn't quite relate to it, so therefore the woman doesn't have anything to say back, and therefore he thinks she doesn't get him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. David, when I was the answer man for iVillage for the 6 years, I don't do it now, but I've done it pretty recently. Mm-hmm. Women always say, why did he say that? Mm-hmm. And almost universally, I said, because he didn't realize it's going to be a big deal. What it is women find far more things much more significant mm-hmm. than men do.
Oh,
men,
absolutely.
Yeah, so men says, I didn't know it was going to be a big deal. I just said it. What the heck, you know? I just said the short version. I didn't mean anything, you know?
Yeah.
And particularly if she met the guy and he's drinking. Now he's really saying a lot of stupid stuff. But and so that's one of the problems there is that's why I talk like a winner. You have to be very wise in how you evaluate what they say. Mm-hmm. What people – you evaluate, then you align with them, and then you respond in an elegant way. And I'll actually say what I think is probably the most significant thing about taking up the slack in your conversations, and that is to end on a positive, memorable note. Mm-hmm. Because it's the last thing that is said that is remembered most.
Yeah. The recency effect, right?
The recency.
Yep.
Yeah. That's another influence. That's Dr. Cialdini's book.
Yep.
Yeah. Who I actually met one-on-one before anyone knew who the heck he was.
Okay.
But,
yep.
But this is how it applies to dating. Women will say, I gave him my phone number, and how come he didn't call back? I said, it didn't end that good. Meaning, between the time she gave out the number and the end, mm-hmm. that could be one of the reasons, is mm-hmm. that it was awkward. And awkward usually means he's not going to do anything because you actually have to be proactive to call her, risk rejection and looking like an idiot. So you're better off doing nothing and just say, hey, I got her phone number. I mean, that's worth half a point, I guess, you know, with the buddies.
Yeah.
But anyways, that's if you don't, you have to learn how to do that. And all sales trained people understand that. You end a little soon, leave them with something that will inspire them to call back again.
More. Yep.
Once more, correct.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Good.
So that's number two.
Number two.
Yeah.
Well, number three is that, you know, some men are better catchers than others. I mean, I guess for women, that would almost be obvious, but they don't actually see it when they're in the dating world. Women tend to have this habit of settling in a relationship that's safe. Would you agree?
Right. They get emotionally attached.
Yes.
If they're coming from a weak, low self-esteem, don't love themselves, and insecure, they're just happy somebody likes them. Or just pays attention to them.
Absolutely.
So they'll go to whenever they're ready, the first guy that shows up.
Yeah. You know, And down the track, they're wondering why they're getting manipulated and treated badly and abused because they never chose very well in the first place, right?
Right, right. And since most people don't have that much emotional armor,
yep.
Last time they says, God, the last two guys were jerks. I think all men are jerks. I said, well, you only met two guys. You met them in the same dive bar. She's got to be able to size up men more accurately. And I say the new concept I have is he boyfriend material and is he husband material?
Okay, that's interesting. Can you explain that a little bit?
Well, boyfriend material is you three things. You're attracted to him, you like him, and you respect him. Mm-hmm. Maybe you admire him too, so four things.
Mm-hmm.
And so that means that, hey, I actually spend some time and I don't feel bad if after a while it becomes my boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And that in itself, the right man, right woman, the right situation is good for when you're young, long distance, meet on a vacation, you know, you're in college together. Mm-hmm. That works.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is when she wants to take to the next level and get married. Because he may be boyfriend material, boyfriend material, and not husband material.
Uh-huh.
Lots of times women wonder why, you know, a real sexy woman. I had a friend who was dating a stripper.
Mm-hmm.
And she used to come to some of the parties with her stripper friends.
Mm-hmm.
And all of us guys were like, wow, the party's starting. But all the other women were like, oh, man, these are such sleazy women.
Yeah.
But as I got to know, my friend would say, you know what, she's not wife material, and I can't take her home to meet my parents because she's got bad friends and drugs and alcohol. So anyways, so a woman needs to pick a guy who at least has some promise of husband material. Mm-hmm. And not only does he have the promise, that's something in his frame of reference that it is the next stage that's not too far behind. So anyways, yes. We can break that down more. I don't know if you had how to measure men. I say, like, here's some way to look at talent. Mm-hmm. His talent, which is his looks, his money, his position, his power.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes.
The next thing I call his personality game, and that's confidence, playfulness, his style. Mm-hmm. A lot of conversations. So you got talent and game, mm-hmm. which is enough if you're just on a vacation. Talent and game. Heart is warmth, empathy. I think some people might have to whip out their dictionary and figure out what that is, but empathy is that he can feel for other people.
Yes, have that caring for other people.
Right. Yep. Right, like James Bond, 007, mm-hmm. Was kind of my idol as a kid growing up. I want to be like James Bond. Mm-hmm. If his love interest died, he'd go, that's too bad, and go on to the next one.
Yes, that's true.
But a very romantic – you can be romantic is more about game than heart.
Yes, I agree with you there.
Yep. So anyway, heart is how you treat other people, mm-hmm. respect. Character is your chronic personality. It's the way that you are all the time. And actually, character has to do by living with principles, life principles, values. Mm-hmm. And then another thing, I've got some lifestyle fit, measure guy. Are you guys similar? Like an outdoorsy guy, you should be an outdoorsy girl.
Yeah.
If you're a technology kind of guy, mm-hmm. should be with a technology kind of girl. If you're an art person, kind of be with an art guy.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a music person, maybe a music guy. Sometimes art and music can cross over.
Yep.
Sometimes not.
Yep.
You know, theater people, or here's a new one, a foodie, you know, F-O-O.
Oh, yeah.
The foodie people, you know.
Yeah, that's becoming a very, very big trend, too.
Yeah, yeah, and that's kind of fun because you're out at restaurants, you're drinking stuff, there's lots to talk about.
And you do new things, you know, you have all that novelty.
Right.
New food,
right?
Yeah.
Do it yourself, you know, so there's lots to talk about, and you can get passionate about and it's a pretty big audience. That's one, lifestyle fit. Another one I call is resonance. You were talking earlier about vibration.
Yes.
It's actually the body processing emotions. It's your body and your emotion get your vibe. So you resonate if you have the same emotional vibe, meaning that your sort of your chronic emotions are similar. Now, what's bad, if you're a depressed person, you're going to resonate highly with another depressed person.
Yeah, and you can connect with them there, yes.
But you might not want to.
Yeah,
So you have to see beyond the chronic to the social. If, you know, a social person, you know, you can have it temporarily. But resonance, that way you're on the same vibrational level. And here's another thing I write. I label it get things done. But what I'm really saying is a man's word. What they say is what they do.
Yes.
They're impeccable with your word.
A sense of consistency.
Right.
Yeah.
You know the book, The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz?
Mm-hmm, yes.
Well, one of them, the first one is be impeccable with your word, that you mean what you say, and your power is in your word. In the beginning, there was a word, and the word was God. You know, that's. But also, when you're really impeccable with your word, you really notice people who aren't. Because further down the line, the issue that women have with men is about trust.
Yes.
And that's the guy who's a BSer. The guy who gives half truths, and you see that, and when you're aware of that, then you can call him on that, because he may not be the kind of person you don't want a BSer as your husband.
No, he needs to take responsibility. I mean, there is responsibility that comes into, you know, a marriage or a serious relationship, at least.
You
know, and he has to, you know, he has to own that.
Right. One of my friends, actually, you know, I mentioned my friend had the stripper girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
He actually got married, but he never told his wife how old he was. He always had a fake ID.
Right.
So when after he was married, he told her how old he was, and he was 10 years older than what he said. They got divorced shortly after that because she was, how could he get married to me lying about his age?
He's probably lying about other things.
Yes.
Yeah, I think trust is a big thing. So I think for women, an important thing is to know exactly how to test a man's word or a man's consistency when it comes to his word.
Right. Right. Mm. And first thing is become aware of that. Get that book, Four Agreements. A woman will really understand it's a fundamental spiritual law of the Toltec wisdom. Mm-hmm. Everything starts there. And once you become fully aware of that and you practice it in your own life, boy, you'll really notice it. And you'll notice it in other people. Mm-hmm. And you could kind of correct guys because sometimes a guy does it, I thought you'd be happier, you know, or something like this. No, tell me the truth. You know?
Yeah.
But anyway, that's a good way for them to size up men in a nutshell. I think you probably have to get, again, that book, which is Men Are Like Fish, is also a free PDF that I'll give them later.
Fantastic. Let's move on to number four, which is the big fish are the hardest to catch. Now, why is it important for women to understand that?
Okay, big fish, right? You're fishing for – what happens is they're the most demand. They're the ones that rate very highly as a boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And as you get older, they rate very highly as husband material too. Mm-hmm. And they're the whole package. And the problem is you only get one chance at the big fish because there's too much competition. There's too many choices. They've already seen a lot. They've been hit – you know, men don't get hit on the same way, but women get –
they have their ways to approach.
They hang around. I had this one friend who was really good looking, mm-hmm. and we called him the lobster trap. And when we used to go out, there's this other guy and I would hang around him because we would notice all these women getting around the vicinity, and they'd be looking at him. But we were the talkers. Mm-hmm. We were the break because he couldn't talk. He was actually a student of mine in Dale Carnegie. Mm-hmm. So he'd come along, attract all the women. My other friend and I would do all the talking. And he had, yeah, anyway, it's very funny, but where were we? The big fish.
Big fish.
So what's important, if you only have one chance, you don't want to scare him away. So you have to make a good first impression. So here's some just general things about first impressions. This is in Dating Rock's book.
Yep.
Be friendly first. Mm-hmm. Friendly would be giving off that vibe that you're receptive. Mm-hmm. The woman isn't trying to get love. She's trying to receive it coming in. Mm-hmm. It's this concept of receiving. You don't get anything. You receive it. It comes to you. Mm-hmm. And so be friendly first. If you're friendly, accepting, then he's more prone, if he has any interest, to make a step toward you. Another would be look your best. Mm-hmm. And even if you don't look your best, it's amazing what you can do. Women shouldn't be asking another guy about this so much. How to look your best on a budget without doing a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, like just your – if you have to like run over to Starbucks and get coffee, just look decent, you know.
Yes. Look classy.
Yeah, and don't look unflattering. So look your best. Be your best. The other thing is zero negativity. Mm-hmm. So criticize, condemn, complain. Talk about negative subjects.
Yep.
You want zero negativity. Now, again, this is first impressions. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean you have to be way off on the other side and be the super positive person. You can be, you know, neutral. Or if you have a thing negative, you have to excuse yourself. Mm. You know, you say something, says, "Oh, sorry about that. My bad."
Pre-framing in a way that's acceptable.
Yeah.
Yep.
Devil did that. I'm sorry, you know, but zero negativity.
Yep.
The other is maintain your cool, which is, you know, manage your upsets. I think when you're angry, distraught, that's a negative, but a lot of people don't think of it that way.
Yes.
So maintain your cool. You just accept things and you're all right with it. This isn't new to you. Life isn't new to you. Mm-hmm. You're not surprised by some things that happen, you know.
Yeah.
You certainly don't judge it. It says, you know, what? The other thing, I think this is probably the most important thing to understand is be a source of joy. Mm-hmm. Source of joy is, you know, you laugh, you're enjoying yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You have something good to say. You can compliment. You make the other person feel good.
Yes, absolutely. Yep.
Yeah, without going over the top.
Yep.
And then the other thing I said, end on a good note. Mm-hmm. I always say that and all this stuff because in doing Talk Like a Winner, in studying that and making my book different, I felt that was the one piece that was really original that people really needed to know. So first impressions, because you may not get a second impression.
Mm.
And then from that, you want to, you know, reveal your girlfriend qualities, but also you're actually revealing your wife qualities, which is your character. You have good taste.
Mm-hmm.
You're reliable. You're financially responsible. You make wise decisions.
Mm-hmm.
You have healthy relationships.
Mm-hmm.
You respect other people. And you're a comfort when adversity hits. That kind of stuff.
But yeah.
Anyway.
Yep. No, that's fantastic. And these are great qualities. I think as a man, intuitively, you sort of look for these qualities on a subconscious level.
Right. And you know what's interesting, David? I've talked to many women hosts. Mm-hmm. Is they'll say to me, says, you know, as a man, you talk a lot differently. And I say, well, it's like I'm analyzing a basketball or football game. See, I'm an ex-athlete.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not a professional coach, so I'm doing this instead.
Mm.
So I'm breaking it down, you know, the offense and the defense and the plays and the fundamentals.
Mm-hmm.
And so my brain is geared or wired to break all this stuff down and fit it together. And so a woman can learn a lot because I'm presenting things she may know intuitively,
mm-hmm.
but go, oh, I never quite thought about it that way. But
mm-hmm.
that's, you know, that's kind of how guys think, you know.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, and the next one, number uh-huh. five, the fifth habit. Men can get spooked very quickly. Now, what's this all about?
Okay, spooked is a fishing word.
Mm-hmm.
You go up to the lake, and you plop this giant hook and bait and weight right on top of the fish and mm-hmm. scares them away. Or you're talking too loud, or you're hitting the rocks on the shore. What it is the slightest negative vibration makes the fish think, hey, something's unusual, they're trying to catch me.
Mm-hmm.
So women have to be aware that when the man's guard is up, that he can spook very easily on anything that looks negative.
Mm-hmm.
So what would be when his guard is up? Online dating, a singles event.
Yes.
Something that looks like, you know, Match.com or
yes.
anything where, hey, this is who I am, you know, are you impressed? So. But here's there's a good side to this too, is if women learn how to lower a man's guard,
mm-hmm.
it's when his guard is down is you can hook him.
Mm-hmm.
See, you spook him when his guard is up and you're not very good,
mm-hmm.
but you hook him when you're at your best and his guard is down. So I teach women to understand this, and that when his guard is up, you want to avoid all the signs of negativity.
Yes.
We talked about the judgment,
yep.
sadness, depression, anger, all that. But you hook them when you're at your best. Now, most people say when you look your best, you're talking your best, you're feeling your best. That's true. But it's also you're passionate, you're wise, you're loving. If something's really bad going on, you seem to handle it well, you're
mm-hmm.
willing. You know, so those are things. So I actually wrote a thing, Why Men Don't Call Back and Men Are Like Fish. And I did this on the radio for a while. All I got were angry calls, so I kind of cut it out. but here's an example, because these are dating examples.
Mm-hmm.
So this is how you spook a guy away. It's
mm-hmm.
like you're rude to the waiter or waitress on a date.
Yep.
That makes sense.
It's right. It's showing that you don't have patience and that you're not accepting of people.
Yeah, you know, yep. right. Here's another thing. Like if you drive a clunker, that's a really beat up car,
mm-hmm.
or you live in like in a dump, like a really sloppy mm-hmm. house and everything.
Yep.
And that just reveals that you don't have any order.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you sort of don't have it together.
Mm.
And he might see that and go, I don't think I'm going to call you back.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a lot of other things. Here's one that women used to get really mad at. I said, maybe you have too many cats running around your house. and I'll talk to guys, and they'll say, yeah, I hear you. Because it's not that he doesn't like cats.
Mm-hmm.
It's just he doesn't like you yet. He's not hooked he's not emotionally attached yet, and if he doesn't really like cats, that is no plus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's not. It's not. It's a little glimpse into, you know, what could your life really be about if you have so many cats, and, you know, what kind of responsibilities would you take, and, you know, what kind of lifestyle do you live with?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, and then there's other things like a woman doesn't want to cuss and swear in public, mm-hmm. or create a scene,
yes.
in public. So these are like dating mistakes, but spooking, I will tell people what I think women, the antidote for this. I think
fantastic, that's what, yes.
is lower his guard.
Yes.
So how do you lower his guard?
Good question.
Get him to laugh. Get him to laugh.
Ah, okay.
And now, by the way, when I'm in the tourism business, sometimes I'm in Canada, mm-hmm. and I meet foreigners, and they said, you Americans are so funny because you're always trying to make people laugh when you're doing business. Mm-hmm. Everything's like, ha, 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 ha. You know, even mm-hmm. Dale Carnegie training, you want to get them laughing right away. Mm-hmm. But anyways, get them to laugh, because once he's laughing, it kind of lowers his guard.
Yeah. Now, sorry, go ahead. Yeah.
Get him to laugh at himself. This does not mean for a woman to be a comedian.
Uh-huh. That's exactly what I was about to say. You know, you don't want to be the clown.
Yeah. Because men do not like female comedians. I hate to say that. But that's...
well, most female comedians I've seen are quite masculine. And you know, they're sort of – they have that masculine quality to them.
A little bit, and they like to put men down. And I see no humor in that. So, okay, so here's another. Lower his guard is let him observe you in action. So you're at a party or something. Mm-hmm. You're in view, and you're interacting with other people. You're listening well. You have elegant mannerisms. You have good posture. Your neck, your chin is high. Mm-hmm. You seem to enjoy yourself. And he's kind of staring up, go, hey, there's kind of an interesting, you know, woman. Check. Mm-hmm. She seems to, I got to go over there. So he's observing you. His guard's down because he doesn't realize that, you know, he's really observing you. And so that's one way to lower his guard.
Yep.
And he's watching you from a distance. Mm-hmm. Here's another way, like if you're on a date, is walk together. If you walk together, you're actually looking at the same thing. Your breathing's at the same pace. Now, this is NLP. This is neuro-linguistic program. You're mirroring,
yes.
and matching. And so that's a good way. Lots of times if you're going to have an argument, go mm-hmm. take a walk. It kind of... you release some of that energy and you can get around stuff.
Right,
and then sometimes I say the same, give them a taste of brutal honesty. Well stated and properly pre-framed so that he understands you're saying it with respect, but mm-hmm. hey, you know, is it okay? You pre-framed, get permission.
Yeah.
But that sounds like BS. Mm. And you'll win... earn some points because you've elegantly challenged him with full respect, and you didn't say he was wrong. You just say, that sounds like BS.
Mm.
Or, is that BS? Are you BSing me? You know? But that's a way, because all of a sudden he's like, oh, it's, you know, balls on my court. Well, you got me there.
Yep.
So these are some tactics that women will help them, because you know, you could spook a guy, but if you can lower his guard and hook his attention in the right way,
mm-hmm.
you'll win that part of the game.
No,
you'll avoid spooking. Yeah.
I absolutely agree, because mm-hmm. so many men have, you know, very high defenses, especially when it comes to commitment, and, you know, because men have a lot of resistance naturally, and I'm sure we're going to talk about that, but, you know, they have naturally a huge amount of commitment resistance because they feel like they're going to be caught or trapped. And
right.
the more the woman can lower that resistance and make it a laughable or a lighthearted topic, the more they can enter into that conversation and actually have a real conversation with the man instead of, you know, the man going, oh my God, she's going to try and talk to me again.
Yeah. Well stated. Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, the next habit is
yeah.
men run in schools. Now, that's obviously related to fishing. So men are probably all hanging around the same fishing hole, or the same kind of men are hanging around the same kind of fishing hole. Now, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, fishing hole is the same type of people, same type of activities.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, when we're talking about spooking, the best one of the ways to lower his guard is you meet him in a non-dating situation.
Mm-hmm.
you're meeting for other reasons.
Yes.
In fact, this is one of those spiritual laws too, the law of indirect effort, is you don't get things directly, is you get it indirectly, mm-hmm. as a byproduct. Opportunities, you don't get opportunities always because you're trying to get an opportunity and it comes right to you. Mm-hmm. An opportunity comes disguised as failure, something you don't want to do. Mm-hmm. It comes through the back door. This is from Think and Grow Rich, mm-hmm. the book, and opportunity comes through other people. It's indirect. And it's so you want to go to places that are going to be uncomfortable. They may cost you money, mm-hmm. Something you don't think you want to do. But that's where your opportunities are going to be, because it's going to look like failure.
And they're going to show up without you actually actively pursuing the opportunities.
Right. And your guard should be down. He's like, this sucks. And there's somebody right next to you goes, man, this sucks too. Let's get out of here. You
know? Yeah.
But so anyway, I tell smart women to look for good men in all the best fishing holes.
Okay. Can you share some of those with us?
Okay. Well, Here's the wisdom behind that. Some women say, oh, men are so hard to catch. I said, well, some men are not really that hard to catch. They're really more a matter of they're hard to find. Mm. And so there's all sorts of things. In my first book, I had like 101 things. And I did radio things on 101. But I decided, you know, I'm going to sort these out a little bit. Mm-hmm. So since we spend so much time in work and career, do you have a thing called meetup groups?
We do, actually. We do, yes.
Okay, meetup groups for investing, marketing, sales, or sports, like volleyball.
Yeah, we even have, you know, singles meetup groups these days.
Oh, okay. Now, those might be a little more stressful.
Yeah, because people are there with an agenda.
Right. Yeah, so if you do the other ones, it's just kind of interesting. You've got to mix these around. If you want to do a singles thing, balance it by doing something that's non-single. But meetup groups are real good. Mm-hmm. Men are in sports, co-ed sports, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yep.
Popular lunch spots near workplaces.
Yep.
Coffee before or after work, mm-hmm. company outings, seminars. Or if you're in the service industry, something that for professional men.
Yes.
That kind of stuff. Seminars. Because, again, you're going to meet this person through another person. Mm-hmm. So the way you work reveals your chronic personality. So this is where people got to get their act together. I'm saying women, but people who know you are not going to refer you if you're a pain at work.
Yes.
Because
that looks bad on them.
Yes. This all kind of comes together. So another area, that was career and work. And by the way, that's where most are. The other way would be sports and outdoors. Mm-hmm. So a good, like, you know, golf and tennis are pretty good, co-ed sports. I think healthy people are doing jogging.
Yeah.
10K, maybe some of the exercise classes. You won't see a lot of guys doing yoga and Pilates, mm-hmm. but you might see a guy occasionally. Or there might be another woman who says, you know, I got something you should meet.
Yeah. Absolutely. Because women have guy friends.
Yeah, that's right. And then, you know, water sports. I live in California, and a lot of the Australians live near the ocean too, I guess. So
yes.
there's things there. And a lot of people are passionate about their college or pro teams, soccer, I guess. And so there's also meetup groups a lot with the different sports. So that's a good way. That way, again, the law of indirect effort, you're not trying to meet people that way, even though you are, but you're also there for another reason. Another one would be eat, drink, and be merry. So here in California, sushi bars are big because there's good ones where there's a lot of people there and you can kind of joke around. Sports bar sometimes, a neighborhood bar, a happy hour. Mm-hmm. Happy hours are good, or someplace that's near a work area that's got a reputation of having people stop by for a drink. Mm-hmm. Sunday brunch, or be on a golf course, or karaoke bars. Or, you know, those are places you can go. Women know that you can, you know, meet people that way. Travel and leisure.
Yeah, that's a great one because I once heard, I think it was Dr. Helen Fisher, you know, she said there's so much novelty that comes with traveling and doing exciting things that, you know, it your hormones are automatically elevated. That's a great place to fall in love and for other people to fall in love with you.
Right. And like a weekend getaway. So, you know, like in Melbourne, I'm not sure where they go there, but, you know, different places in Sydney or the different places. The places that people go for the weekend, those can be kind of good. Dance places, college events. I say art galleries and automobiles. Those are not of interest to me, but they might be. Or a tourist spot. Sometimes you meet somebody who's from out of town, and they'll come visit, and you might be there, and you're a local. Outdoor concerts. But what happens is you catch them, and you're in a more of a passionate mood, and you're excited. You want to share experiences. So the sharing the travel excitement together is one of those things. And then the next thing I say, home and friends. So, you know, like a hair salon that caters to both men and women. That's a good one.
I see. Yes.
Yeah, because they have clients who know each other. Dog walking parks. Sometimes on the train and the bus and cab. That's a little tougher. people need their privacy. Attend weddings.
Yes.
Local eateries. Men like in California, like a chicken wing place, a hamburger place, a pizza place. You know, those kind of places, shrimp places, you know, or oyster places, oyster bars, special events. So those are all kind of good things. Again, it's all on the theory that you're going to meet, your opportunity will come through another person.
Yes.
And so that's, you don't necessarily going to meet somebody that way as directly. And when I say a bar, you can go in there. This is how you vary it. You can go by yourself. You can go with one person, two person, three person, four person. So you have varied the amount. You can vary the times. Mm-hmm. So if you're always going at 10 o'clock and you're striking out, go at 9 o'clock. Maybe go later. You know, mix it up.
Yeah.
And mix who you're going with, because you want somebody who can keep the energy up. So anyways, I you know, no, bottom that, line,
yeah. Yeah, that's a lot of, you know, great places that you just mentioned. And I think, yeah, it comes down to the big concept of, you know, once you stop actively looking for and try and pursue it with every ounce of you, it'll come to you.
Yeah.
You'll just attract it.
And here's a good icebreaker that I would use as a guy, and women could do it on guys, is if you're chicken or something, is do this little game where you're introducing your friends to people. So I'll walk up to a table of couple of chicks, I'll say, you know, I got a couple friends here, and they says, you got to go over there because we'd like to meet her. So I'm coming over here to introduce you gals, look all right, and you're together, to meet my friends. So come on over.
Yep.
So I know my friends want to meet you. Me too, but yeah, anyway, you know, you throw that in there later.
Yeah.
But that way you're not getting rejected. He says, I guess they didn't like my friends, you know.
yes, no, totally. Let's move on to the next one.
Okay.
The seventh one, which is very, very important, because I think a lot of women have issues with this, and it's the fact that men and commitment, you know, because you describe it as men fear the net. And I think for most men, they have this image of, like, not just a net, but a prison cell. Marriage can sort of seem that way to them. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, they don't want to get caught. They don't want to get caught where they lose their freedom. Freedom is their highest, one of their highest levels. What it is they're caught. They don't want to be caught as a husband, because their fun was when they're a boyfriend.
Yes.
They don't necessarily want the wife or mother side of her as much as their hot girlfriend side.
Yes.
So they don't want to lose that part. So I tell women that they got to make commitment appear safe, easy, the right thing to do for him. the issue here is freedom and fear. See, like, that may not work if the woman doesn't really understand those concepts, but that's what she's dealing with. His fear that he's going to lose his freedom, meaning that he won't be able to live fully. And so I use that boyfriend-girlfriend thing real simply, is when you're married, act like a girlfriend occasionally and treat him like a boyfriend.
Yes, I totally agree with you. I was at a Tony Robbins event not long ago, and this one phrase that I remember that really stood out was Tony's wife, Sage. She said this little thing just the day before they got married. She said, "You know what? I'm going to be everything a wife is and everything a wife isn't."
Very well said. Mm. I never heard her say that. Mm. Yeah. I don't know Sage that well. I knew Becky very well, but yep. First wife. But yep. That's I say 80-20. At least 20% of the time, be a girlfriend and treat him like a boyfriend.
Yep.
And a boyfriend is sexy, fun, and you have to revive the guy. So, yep. Here are tips to get him in the net. And that's to play out the fish. Is you kind of play along with him. You don't fight him. Another thing is like the rip current. You don't fight against the current. You go with the current sometimes. Mm-hmm. So that's what I call play out the fish. You don't threaten the relationship. You don't say, "I'm leaving you if you don't do this," or threatening, because they'll be referred to again. So don't do that.
Yep.
Here's another thing. Expect them to have one last effort to escape the net. So even if he's engaged and the wedding's approaching, he may do something kind of bad. Mm-hmm. That could be perceived as bad. But, just expect him to have cold feet right there before that. Mm-hmm. And then you want to promise him good loving, which means kind of the good sex, loyal, but it's still going to be fun. Mm-hmm. So you're going to promise that you're going to still be the girlfriend.
Yep.
You're not going to switch into full-time mother.
Mother, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think that's the biggest thing that men fear. It's not so much that marriage is such a terrible thing, but men feel like, oh my God, they're going to lose all the excitement or the fun or the joy that they had when they weren't married. They weren't just a husband. You know, they didn't just have a wife. They had a girlfriend at the same time. That's, I think, what they're missing. And so many men, I mean, this is true from just me being on forums and hearing from women that there are mm-hmm. women out there who actually marry the man and then they just have no sex, no intimacy, no passion, and they're happy about that. It's almost like, yes, I've trapped the man. And that's what men fear the most.
That's right. That's what they fear. They fear they're going to die emotionally. Mm. They're going to die romantically emotional. And so the other couple tips I had on there is make him your hero. And there's a certain way you treat a hero. Mm. There are certain names you don't call them. You dumbass, you know. And then I think here's one again: is you want to be irreplaceable joy. Mm-hmm. This is again the source of joy, but you're irreplaceable. But there's something unique about mm-hmm. that: is that when you're not around, he really misses you. You're very joyful, and that's the connection: is you connect in joy. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of the fear of the net thing. There's one more that's sort of similar right after the eighth.
Yeah, it leads right to the eighth, which is men often die after being caught, just like fish, right?
They die. They die emotionally. And mm-hmm. and part of this is the man's responsibility. The man has to revive himself emotionally mm-hmm. After they're caught by love. And they have to kind of stay alive and passionate and healthy and romantic. Mm-hmm. They've got to recharge their love battery, mm-hmm. Which they need their space. But you have to negotiate the space. You have to explain while you're doing that.
Yep.
But you just say, trust me, I'll come back. And I'll be so grateful that you let me hang out with these boys.
Yeah.
Now, lots of times women will say, well, they're a bad influence. And that's where a man has to kind of say, hey, she might be right about that. Mm-hmm. But a limited friendship with guys, if it's sports related. So don't die by being grateful for the woman. And gratitude is one of those funny things. You could go to a lot of spiritual classes and hang around all these spiritual people about being grateful. But I think it hits you more as like, I am just so lucky. It's got to hit you the way you are when you're just like simple guy, boy meets girl. I'm just so lucky. I'm so friggin' lucky, you know. But anyway, don't die. And so a woman has to understand this is for the woman's side, is understand the catch and release. And that's why I say you got to release him to be a boyfriend. Mm. Treat him like – give him space. Manage your upsets. Forgive him for harmless, stupid stuff, because he's going to do harmless, stupid stuff.
As men do, yes, absolutely.
Don't break the trust. Mm. And men will tend to do that, but women certainly don't do that, because you can't – it's like tissue – paper in the wind. You can't put it back together. There's always a doubt after that. And then really, this always sets the conditions for growth. The law of life, this is another universal principle, is you grow or die. So if you're open-minded and you're positive and you're set to join together an adventure in life, you need some areas to grow in. So you find areas that you want to spend time together, you grow, so that you can have mutual experiences together. Like if the Tony Robbins thing, you do the firewalk, jump out of planes, you know, you break boards. Those are metaphorical, but this real things, you know, you could they're take vacations together, take classes together, go through a challenge together, whatever it is, you know, get over a fear together. So areas to grow together, help each other break through whatever is the fear that's stopping them from being all they can be. But focus more on the giving part and the receiving, not on getting. If you're getting, you're not going to get it, and that's a spiritual law. And when I said this experiences is you create magic moments. And I've heard other people say that. I used to kind of steal that idea. But I learned that firsthand, because being a professional tour director, I had to make like these ordinary things seem really special, because I'd be narrating, would you look at that beautiful view over there? Never seen anything like this. This is one of the wonders of the world, the Grand Canyon. And you're seeing this in person, you know, without any crowds, right at sunset. So, I mean, everyone's got to be their own professional tour director. But magic moments, they're moments that you make very special as a couple.
Definitely.
That's kind of the eight in a nutshell, and we could talk more, but I mean that was we talked a little longer than normal, but I think the bottom line was that catching a man is like catching a fish. You just have to develop a deeper love for the sport, and that's very important. A deeper love for the sport. It's like a sport.
Yes.
And where you want to fish or love with joy. And it's an adventure, and you'll become more because of that.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with you. Now, just on another topic, you talk a little bit about do men love bitches? Now, I know Sherry Argov's got a book, you know, Why Men Love Bitches, and etc. I think you got a few things to say about that, too.
Yeah, we used to be good friends.
Yep.
The part that I think she means is you've got to be able to stand up for yourself.
No, I agree, yes.
Because otherwise, you're actually not loving yourself. But there's a spiritual divide here, and it has to do with the word bitches. You need to be able to treat other people well, because what goes around comes around. And you also – lots of times people get bitchiness has to do with judging.
Yes.
Is the judgment that other people suck or bad or not cool. The bitch thing doesn't work too good if you're in conflict, because it'll cause conflict to escalate, or you may cause it, because behind the chronic emotion of being a bitch is that you're negative.
Yes.
Is that you're unhappy.
Yes.
So the only part of bitches that's good is in the social personality, when you occasionally balance. If you're like, if you've been to too many positive attitude seminars,
you get sick of that.
You need to throw in.
Yeah.
So you don't want to be the chronic habitual bitch, but you can, like hot sauce, you can just have a little bit of Tabasco in your social personality, because it makes you more real.
Yes, absolutely. I guess it's not real to think that someone is always 100% positive. It just almost seems fake to some extent. And I think her whole message is to be respectful to yourself first, and then to others. Don't be a judgmental bitch, but be a respectful bitch at times, and know when to say no.
Right. So I think, and like appeals to younger women or women who had difficulty with men. Mm-hmm. It has to do with her subtitle, which is go from doormat to dream girl. Well,
yes.
The dream girl, she and I have a different perspective on that because I come from a little more spiritual basis. Mm-hmm. And I just think in the long run, the bitch part is not good wife material.
That's true.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's good for girlfriend, but at times, maybe yeah. a smaller percentage. But in terms of wife, it doesn't quite sit very well. But, you know, if you have that hot sauce as the girlfriend material, then that can definitely make things a lot more exciting and a lot more fun.
Right. And so, like I say, why do men love bitches? It says, why do men hate bitches? Her next book, second book was Why Men Marry Bitches. Mm-hmm. I said,
yeah, yep.
It's also why they divorce them, too. But what happens, if the bitchiness is more like complaining, condemning, or criticizing, what happens is the guy spends less and less time with her.
Yeah.
He'll spend time with her, but, you know, it's like, God.
Creates that negative association, doesn't it?
Yeah, I got to get away from her. Yeah. Mm. So anyway, so that's what I think. I, you know, I haven't talked to her in many years, but we were going to be partners back in a long time ago, wow. right around 2002. Mm. But
no, I still think she has a very valuable message for most women out there who have this perception and this belief that I must be a nice girl or a nice woman in order to do well in this life.
Right.
And I think she adds a lot of value to those types of women. Mm.
David, are we running out of time or?
Yeah, we're sort of just getting to time right now. But we could talk for hours on end, I think. There's actually a lot of stuff that we have already covered that we could cover if we're going to have, three or four more interviews. But so what's your bottom line advice for women who, who are in dating or just beginning their relationships? And how do you fit this men are like fish metaphor for them?
Well, it's all about raising their awareness as a person and also their dating. I think the simplest thing is become girlfriend material and wife material. I think that's the simplest way. It's kind of my new analogy mm-hmm. because it's only two things they have to worry about or focus on. That don't sacrifice one for the other, develop them both. But in terms of fishing, the two bottom lines are, aside from the fact that, catching a man's like catching a fish, mm-hmm. it's only you master a half dozen things. But remember that love is the keeper, meaning you get to keep all your memories, but more importantly, it's the person you become. If you're someone who's able to keep love, then you're a person that deserves it. Mm-hmm. And so you've attracted it by the person you've become. Mm-hmm. So that's probably the most important thing. Love is the keeper, and you being a loving person is the keeper. You keep that forever. And then number two is it only takes one. So no matter how many people or how many experiences you've had that have not worked out completely, you've had some successes probably. Mm-hmm. All you need is one. And it'll happen when you're ready. So if there's more that they want to know, is it okay to give them
absolutely.
My
stuff? I know you have a gift, right? For all the
a gift.
Yes.
Right. The gift, they can go to my website, which is menarelikefish.com, mm-hmm. and you can learn out more. You can sign up for my free newsletter, which is mostly Talk Like a Winner stuff mm-hmm. with some enlightened relationship things. But my gift is if they send an email to I have two addresses. menarelikefish@mindspring.com. Mm-hmm. Mindspring is MIND, like the mind, spring, yes. SPRNG.com. menarelikefish@mindspring.com. Or info, short for information, at stevenakamoto.com. A lot of people don't know how to spell my name, but anyway. what I'll do is I'll send them links so they can have the free PDF of Men Are Like Fish, mm-hmm. Dating Rocks, and Talk Like a Winner.
Fantastic.
And then everything we've talked about, David, not in complete detail, but I've got like 100 slides in a PDF form.
Yes.
I'll have a link there so that they can look at the notes and they'll remember this. And maybe there's a file of this audio that they can listen to again.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they'll get like the gist of what I have to say. Anything personal, I have a link there if they want to do my coaching deal. You know, you can use Spike Skype. But Skype. I have 20 dollars for 20 minutes, risk free, and I can talk to them on that. If they don't like the conversation, they thought this was a waste of time, they don't have to pay for it.
But, fantastic.
Yeah. Well, it's all on there.
Yep. So I'll have the links below the interview anyway, and okay. They'll have full access. They won't have to spell it out. They'll just click the link, and that's okay. It. So thank you again, Steve, for your time. You've been invaluable.
David, it's a lot of fun. It's good to have that good back and forth, and you drew out a lot out of me too. So thank you very much. No, thanks for being.
Thank you. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.